The drive continues with Need to Know Basis on TSN 1200.
Here's what you need to know today. Ottawa Senators back in action tomorrow against the Toronto Maple Leafs. They did not practice today. But with the injury to Cam Talbot last night, Kevin Mandolese called up from the Belleville Senators. That leaves them with only Logan Flodell on an AHL deal. Anton Forsberg and Mandolese and the Ottawa Senators in Toronto against the Leafs tomorrow. It's all right here on TSN 1200. Andre Kuzmenko has signed a two-year deal with the Vancouver Canucks. It's worth $11 million. Frank Reich is the new head coach of the Carolina Panthers, ex-Colts head coach. Was the first starting quarterback in Carolina Panthers history. And that is what you need to know today. Going to talk some golf here. We've been talking about the weather. This is something that our next guest will probably appreciate. 15 years and working at an airport in northwestern Ontario, having to run to the end of the runway in minus 67. I'm guessing that's minus 67 with a windshield. Eyes frozen open for 6 hours. There you go. A lot of snow versus cold type texts here today at 12-1200, where standard messaging rates apply. He's dealing with neither snow nor cold down in Florida. Host of Tee It Up, joining us in the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, the one and only Kevin Haim. El Haimo, how are you?
Oh, great. It's a little cool here today. It's about 19.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, sorry about that. I have to worry about bunker sand, whether it's heavy or light, you know. Those are my concerns.
It is a great time of year for golf fans. And for those who might not know, for years, the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando, I don't even know how many you've been to. Kevin, you've been going your whole life.
Yeah, about 30.
Yeah, it's kind of the official kickoff to the 2023 golf season, right? Everybody in golf kind of gathers, and you get a chance to see what the new equipment's going to be, new teaching techniques, all that kind of stuff. You've had a chance to be down there. What's caught your eye so far? Like, what are we going to be talking about in 2023 when it comes to golf?
Well, the big thing, Chris, is that it's back. I would say that the show is booming. TaylorMade didn't come, mind you. They made a strategic business decision to not be here. By the way, I would say it's the kickoff of the business of golf, right?
Yeah.
More so than this season, because they're already playing in Dubai and out at the Farmers, and they've been playing through Christmas. And so there's no off season of playing the game, but this is definitely kind of the mecca of golf business. And it's a really busy show. Everybody's optimistic. I mean, let's be honest, though. Golf did well during COVID. So yeah. It's not like we were shut down. I mean, people played golf when they couldn't do anything else. So it's really, though, I think the mood is optimistic for a lot of different reasons. Number one, we've caught up, right? Inventory problems were so bad. People trying to buy clubs through COVID and couldn't get them delivered, and supply chain issues. So we're kind of through that now. And I just think that, you know, this changing world is a really positive thing for golf, because younger people are talking about balance in their lives and enjoying experiences. When you work from home, it doesn't matter if you, as you know, Chris, write your column at midnight from 2 a.m. and go play golf during the day.
Yeah.
So for a lot of reasons, I think people are embracing our game, and everybody's feeling pretty good about it down here.
I guess the big question is, we saw such an uptick in the number of rounds played, the amount of money spent on equipment. I think, from 2019 through 2020 and 21, up about $3 billion worldwide.
Amazing.
It is amazing. And I guess the question I have, and I guess the question a lot of people in the golf business have, are they going to be able to sustain that kind of new interest in the game? People went out, and if they'd been away from golf, they went back to it, or they took the game up during COVID because it was one of the few activities that you could actually enjoy under the restrictions that were in place. Is golf going to be able to hang on to those new converts and the people that came back to the game?
Well, I tell you what it is doing, Chris. It might not keep everybody, because it is a hard game. So some people might have tried it and said, whoa, that's more than I bargained for. You know, you really got to put an effort into this sport. But there's a real transition from the old golf pros here in their V-neck sweaters and their tassel loafers, you know, to athleticism and backwards caps and hoodies. The game is very cool today. I think the 20 and 30 somethings, they're playing simulated golf. They're, you know, they're playing music in their carts. It's a very different generation of golfer, but it's also injecting a lot of energy into the show. I mean, I went to a 6-hour teaching symposium the other day, and you'd think that'd be boring as heck, but they had rap music going tied to golf lyrics. And I mean, it's a cool thing to be involved with now. I don't know how much of that is Tiger or young athletic people like Brooke Henderson, you know, but there's a new wave in golf for sure. And it's funny to see the chasm, right? Because at this teaching symposium, we had 7 of the old greats, David Ledbetter and a bunch up on stage talking about how to teach the game. And then we had some young people in there, and they're talking more about the biomechanics of the game and using ground force. And so it's much more of a sport now, and it's a cool sport. So I'm positive about it, but, you know, it's going to be a different game than we knew 15 years ago.
You mentioned TaylorMade not there. Certainly made quite an impression on Brooke Henderson with her new clubs and the fact that she's 1-for-1 in winning a tournament with her new TaylorMade clubs. What did you make of what she did on the weekend, winning the LPGA Tournament of Champions?
Well, a superstar, right? And I know Brooke was really happy. I'm pleasantly surprised because Brooke is a real field player. And for her to put a whole new bag together and show up and be comfortable with it is a really good sign for all of us Brooke fans. The putter, you know, I think the putter has been it's been a sketchy thing for Brooke ever since she won her first pro tournament at 15. So let's be honest, she's been able to putt at different times in her career. But the one she's got now, this TaylorMade Spider putter she was using, she seems to really like the look of, and she's confident. And when Brooke has her ball striking, she always has, and is making putts and feeling good about the putts going in, she's close to unbeatable. She's one of those rare athletes, AJ, who, you know, like Tiger Woods, could be leading by 3 on Saturday and 6 on Sunday. Like, she's not scared to lead. Mm. She's not scared to run away. She plays to her own standard, you know, and doesn't seem to get nervous. So she's got it all going on now. And I do like that Spider putter a lot. It's a great putter. The other thing I'd say is she is a rock star. She was here yesterday in the Skechers booth, and they had TV lights all around her, and there were at least 500 people waiting like 5 aisles across to take a picture and shake her hand and see her. So, you know, we love her in Ottawa. We love her in Smith Falls. But she is now, along with Nelly Korda, you know, I'd say they're 1-2 or 2-1. Both TaylorMade girls. Nelly Korda this winter left Titleist and went to TaylorMade as well. So two good signings for them. But yeah, when Brooke's putting, you can't beat her, basically, on the LPGA Tour.
And I thought, too, the networks did a good job of having the mics close to both her and sister Britt, who's her caddy. And I thought listening to them talk, it seemed like there was like a, almost like a new maturity to their game, the way that they were considering their options. You know, Britt doing most of the talking, make sure that all the options were laid out for Brooke and giving her an idea of what Britt wanted her to do. But it just seemed to me like it was almost like their partnership reached a new level there too, listening to them. I mean, they just took that golf course apart.
Yeah, they're pros now, Chris. You know, I mean, you've followed them all across the world, really, and you've been, you know, you have intimate knowledge as to their partnership and their friendship and everything. But they were so young when they went out on tour, right? And even though she was an uber athlete, I mean, she's still such a small-town girl, but now they're 9 years in, and now I like that term you use. They can pick it apart, right? She's a great caddy. She knows Brooke and Brooke's game better than any caddy might know anyone, being your sister, and Brooke is full of confidence. So that combination is, yeah, really epic. The other thing I wouldn't mind saying, too, and, you know, we've been talking on Tee It Up for years about her putting and everything, but she said that when her back got injured last fall, which we all have to cross our fingers because we all know what she does to her back every single swing, you know, but all she could do is putt. And she probably getting with a new putter and having to work on her short game more really became a better putter. So I wouldn't be surprised to see her run off a couple here, you know, because she'll be brimming with confidence. and with the new equipment, with the putter, and feeling healthy, you know. So she's in a real nice spot right now.
And that was my next question. I mean, she's won consistently, right, since she got on tour and has been a top 10 player right from the get-go. And, you know, it's been one tournament win this year and two tournament wins this year. Is this the year that it feels like maybe she could explode and win four or five?
I think so, AJ. If the back holds up, I really do think so. I mean, you know, Hall of Fame, she's now got 13 wins, including two majors. She's starting to get into that conversation, right? Mm-hmm. For a long time, it's can she win? How good will she get? Is she going to be the best Canadian ever? And now she's kind of blown all those things off her back as check marks, right? Done, done, done. And the next big check mark, it gets into that Hall of Fame category, right? And being one of the epic all-timers. And as long as she's motivated and keeps working at it and is happy out there and wants to do it. I mean, Brittany's now married, right? And that hasn't really gotten in their way. If Brooke meets a fella and they get married, she may do what Annika did and step away sooner. You don't know how long her career will be. But, yeah, she could go on a run. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, if John Rahm can win five times in a year, or Scottie Scheffler, or, you know, Brooke can certainly do it. I think Brooke has less competition on the LPGA Tour than the guys on the PGA Tour have. So there you go.
Yeah. So after having a bit of a chance there to walk the aisles at the Orange County Convention Center, what are we going to be talking about when it comes to clubs? The technology just keeps leaping forward, right? Of course, as the technology leaps forward, so does the price.
Yeah, both things true, Chris. I think every major company is doing an incredible job. I mean, they've all got teams of engineers working on the equipment. I think the old days where it's like, ooh, so and such and such a company's way ahead of the others, those days are gone. You know, I was just in the Cleveland Trixon booth meeting with Chris Risto, the top guy in Canada, with Trixon, and their equipment's fantastic. Like, everybody's got great stuff. Yeah. I don't want to keep, you know, stay on the soapbox about getting club fit and stuff, but if you're going to spend $800 on a driver, which is what they are today, you know, you really just have to make sure you've got the right stuff, because all of the companies are making great equipment, but you got to get that shaft that kicks and reflex and twists and is the right weight for you and your golf swing, right? Yeah. So that's my message, but I think we're in a really good spot, you know. The other thing I would say is happening more and more in golf, and I did allude to it as it being a younger man's game and a sport, but so much science and technology. You know, we've had 3D motion capture for a little while at our school. We were the first guys to bring it into the country, but there's an app I just signed up to use, which is 3D motion capture on your iPhone outside on the driving range.
Wow.
So
yeah.
The technology and the advancements to be able to study the game and understand the game and learn about what athletes really have the potential to do. It's gonna keep changing the game, you know. I mean, Tiger, when he came out, was so much ahead of everyone else. Now everybody's going to be able to, you know, hit the ball that far. And so, yeah, a lot of biomechanics, a lot of fitness, just a different golf than we've been used to since, you know, maybe the 1950s.
Kevin Hame is our guest down in Florida, host of Tee It Up here on TSN 1200. A little spice here in the last week with Rory McIlroy and Patrick Reed. What do you make of that battle and just Rory snubbing Patrick Reed?
Yeah, I think Patrick Reed's a lunatic. You know, I mean, the guy is he's suing everybody and, you know, in my opinion, he's certainly stretched the rules on the golf course and everything. So all the way back to college when he was accused of taking stuff out of his teammates' lockers. I mean, he's a different cat, you know, but I don't mind it. I love a little spice in the game. It gives us stuff to talk about on Tee It Up. I think it brings interest and eyeballs to the game. It's good. I would also say that Rory, I don't know if you heard his comments, if you guys have talked about it, but he said, you know, did you snub Patrick Reed? And Rory said, yeah, I did. He served me with lawsuit papers on Christmas Eve, and I totally snubbed him. Rory is now speaking his mind. He's kind of taken up the baton from Tiger to be the voice on the PGA Tour. He's really mature. And like Brooke Henderson, I think Rory is in the next 5 years, you know, in for an epic run, not just as a player, but as a legendary figure in our game, right? So, I like that stuff. I think it's all good. You know, we'll find out what happens with LIV this year and the Saudi tour and everything else. But it's all spicy stuff, and it intrigues me. Anything that brings people to golf is a good thing in my eyes.
What's your feeling on LIV and where does it go?
Well, I mean, I appreciate what they've done because it's forced the PGA Tour to raise purses and put more attention onto their top players, which is all going to be more entertaining. As a product, I have zero interest in it. Mm. You know, the fact that I don't think what people play for, if you told me the Senators all got a $10 million raise, that doesn't want me to go to a game anymore, and it might even dissuade me from wanting to go to a game. And, you know, the fact that they play less and get more free time doesn't intrigue me either. So I think they've got a lot to do to try to convince golf fans that, you know, I mean, the PGA Tour has been saying for years, these guys are good. It's all about that, right? These guys can do things you can't. The LIV guys got to start doing that more. I mean, this idea of it being a big party and, you know, being all about the money that they put into it and everything, I just think it's the wrong message to try to attract fans, you know, as far as, you know, getting me to decide I'd rather watch this than something else on the weekend, or I really want to pay attention to what's going on. I got to tell you, I mean, Bryson DeChambeau, if you'd have talked to me 24 months ago when at Bay Hill he hit that ball on that par 5 across the lake, and, you know, he was the biggest thing in golf. And I have not seen him hit a ball in 14 months and don't care to see him. So that speaks volumes. You know, it's pretty much an irrelevant thing. LIV is, not to get into the politics and everything, but it just seems to be kind of an irrelevant thing. Even here at the golf show, there's no big posters of Bryson DeChambeau or Dustin Johnson, right? So we'll see what happens, but it's certainly shaking up the game.
Now, you know, you're down in Florida enjoying the good life. Do we still have Tee It Up to look forward to this weekend?
Oh, yeah, we absolutely do. Tee It Up always happens. We'll be reporting about some of this very stuff we're talking about and some other things from the show. I've got this afternoon till 6. I've got all day tomorrow here at the show, and then we'll be ready to head on air for Tee It Up again.
Fantastic. Awesome stuff. Yeah. 8 a.m. Saturday. Look forward to it. Kevin, always a pleasure. Enjoy your stay down there. Enjoy your cool 19 degrees.
Yeah. Well, I might put a little sweater on later, guys, but don't feel too bad for me. Yeah?
Cheers, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thanks, boys. Appreciate the time. Bye.
Kevin Hame joining us, host of Tee It Up here on TSN 1200 on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza is the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. There's a lot of TSN people in warm climates right now. Lever Sage, Graham Creech, Kevin Hame.
What are we doing?
I can't complain. I was gone for a month. No complaints here. All well-deserved.
Maddie's got a driveway the size of a football field.
He's going clear, away, though. When are you leaving? Clear.
Not until the driveway's done.
My driveway's done. My driveway's fine.
Oh, I know, but you got your
sister's
par 5 to clear there.
Yeah, leaving Sunday morning.
There you go.
Bright and early.
What's the temp down in New Orleans right now?
It was cold like yesterday and today, but it's warming up for when we're there. I think it's like highs around 24.
Oh,
lows,
do.
For the most part, lows are like 16, 14. So right now it's 13 and sunny. Unfortunately, for our time there, a lot of rain in the forecast, but 22, 21, 22, 21. I'm not complaining.
You'll be okay.
Yeah. The food will still be good. The music will still be good.
There you go.
I'm not complaining.
There you go.
All right. When we come back, right to our next guest, commissioner of the CEBL. He just signed a 6-year extension, which is good news for the league. Mike Morreale joins us on the other side as we continue with The Drive on TSN 1200.
Let's get back to The Drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.
It's The Drive on TSN 1200. AJ Jakubek, Chris Stevenson with our producer, Matt Konosfida. Let's bring in our next guest on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Fresh off a 6-year extension, he is the commissioner of the CEBL. Schedule out this week for the Ottawa Blackjacks. They'll play at home May 24th, their opener. Mike Morreale joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Mike, how are you doing today? Congratulations.
Well, Thank you very much. I'm doing well. I'm excited.
Well, what does this mean for you? Obviously, I when I look at this, and I think you've been very good for the league, but I think probably pretty good sign that, you know, you feel the league is heading in the right direction if you're willing to commit the next 6 years to the CEBL.
I certainly do. And I think, you know, you always have to bet on yourself first, right? And I bet on myself and the team around me and the owners that are making this happen and everything we've been able to accomplish in the last 5 years. So this, for me, is more of a sign of stability on behalf of the league and to show that, you know, we're not done working. We got a lot more work to do, and I'm just fortunate that I'm the one to be able to lead the way.
It's been such an interesting time for so many different industries over the last few years, particularly you know, you guys get started in what, 2019, and then you get into the pandemic. Can you give us the temperature out there right now in terms of the recovery from the pandemic and the interest in things like your league and in the business environment and the supports out there? Are we truly seeing kind of like a rebound from pandemic days?
I think we're seeing a rebound from the pandemic days. I would say last year we were still feeling the effects, and I think most sports organizations are. As we look forward, I think we have less concerns about pandemic related issues, and now we turn our concerns to inflation and other issues that, you know, we can't avoid. So I don't think it's ever going to be smooth sailing for any business, you know, especially coming out of major incidents like we've had, but we do feel a lot better about, you know, moving away from it and, you know, combined with what we've been able to do to fight through the pandemic and be successful and the success we've had, in all the metrics that are important to us over the last several years, it makes us feel rather confident that, you know, as long as we stay on the right track, that a lot of good things are going to happen.
Why do you believe this is a league that has big things in store over the course of the next few years?
Well, one, I think it's built strategically well. It's built in a way that we can withstand the things that we've had to withstand, but also built to be able to grow efficiently and smartly, combined with the fact that, you know, we continue to uncover, you know, thousands and thousands of new fans, of people that are really interested in the sport of basketball and the culture of basketball and everything that comes around on the entertainment side. So I believe we're merely scratching the surface. There's lots of people that have no idea who the CBL is. It's up to us to continue to let them know and to get them out to a game or to be able to watch us online or on their TV. So that is encouraging to me. And then couple that with, you know, new announcements that we will have in the not too distant future about, you know, upgrades to this season and ways in which you can watch the CBL. All those things are on, you know, on the horizon and, you know, lead me to believe that we're in a really good spot.
What's the health of your pipeline of players? I guess, and that's a reflection of the health of basketball in Canada at the grassroots level.
I have zero issue with player availability and finding players. And I think that is the one thing that, you know, far and away is the most important, especially when you're a young league and you're expanding and you're growing. You want to make sure that you don't exceed the talent pool available to you.
Yep.
But in this case, it is deep, very deep, and getting deeper year in and year out. So, you know, from a Canadian perspective, you know, there is enough talent to go around with 20-plus teams. You know, what's coming beneath us will support us even more well into the future. And then when you look at the international landscape of basketball, whether that's U.S. or outside of North America, there is just incredible talent available. And, you know, available at a time in which we play, that makes it even better that we have access to those type of high-quality players.
So when you look ahead a few years, what do you want to see with this league that maybe isn't here already?
Well, I think, you know, this year is important for us getting into a conference model and building out, you know, our divisional or conferences, our rivalry games, our playoff structure into a conference model to, you know, reduce some travel, get some more games played. When I look to the future, this league is, you know, can probably accommodate a 24 or 28 game schedule in season, and certainly continue to grow what we are doing in the off season, in addition to our Champions League games with FIBA, some friendlies that we'll be hosting in the not too distant future. And then the inclusion of other, you know, ancillary, things like, you know, Women's League or CBL Second Division. So we're really excited about, you know, the growth of our game, even outside of our season. And I think that to us is one of the major things that we'll continue to strive for.
Mike Morreale is our guest, commissioner of the CEBL, just announced a six-year extension to be commissioner of the CEBL today. Some changes in terms of markets in the offseason. St. John's is out. Guelph is out. Hamilton is out. And I want to ask you about that in a moment. But in or Calgary, Winnipeg, and Brampton, how important was it to get into, you know, some of the markets that are amongst the biggest in this country, like Calgary and Winnipeg, just to kind of make this more of a coast-to-coast league and with more presence in some of your bigger markets?
Yeah, I think it was a calculated effort to be where we are today, and it wasn't without, you know, having to do some serious chess moves to make sure that we did it properly. You know, I have to give credit to the places where we left. They certainly did everything they could, but the landscape in some of those markets was changing, the opportunities were changing, and we knew that we knew where we wanted to go, and that was to that conference model. We knew that we did very well in larger cities, because of, you know, the market share opportunities, but also the media opportunities and everything related to business and everything else. So, and we also knew that we wanted to build out our West conference. So we were very successful being able to move those pieces. You know, it was all part of the longer strategy of getting into major markets and continuing in major markets. And that does afford us a lot of things that are helpful to the business itself. It just helps us capture a wider net, a larger audience, and more people that can help make the CBL grow.
You did have to move Hamilton, your league champion last year, to Brampton. Now the Hamilton Bulldogs have to find a place to play next year as well. Is that a market you'd like to get back into, and how realistic is it that you can get back into Hamilton sooner rather than later?
Well, I think that a lot of that's dependent on the venue itself. And the reason we had to leave was because of the eventual relocation of our team into 24 and beyond. You know, the Bulldogs, like you mentioned, are just wrapping up their 23 season, or will wrap up their 23 season and have to find a new home for at least a couple years. We didn't want to have to sit and wait. We felt like that would just spin our tires. The Hamilton market was good, but it still has some deficiencies, and the arena is probably the most important one. But I do see a world in which the CBL returns to Hamilton with a new team, probably with a new ownership group, playing in a new refurbished venue. I think those are all positives. But in the interim, we do have other markets that we would like to get to and other goals that we'd like to achieve. But I would never say no to Hamilton. That was my baby. That was, you know, being from there and spending majority of my life working there and playing there. It was not an easy decision, but it was the right one for the betterment of the league.
Mike Morreale is our guest, commissioner of the CEBL. How important is just the correlation? I mean, obviously the Raptors gives this country, and in particular the Southern Ontario markets, a lot of bump whenever they're good, but just the Canadian national team on the men's side in particular, it's still kind of waiting for that moment where, you know, the best on best situation where they can play the United States, maybe for a medal in a world championship or an Olympic Games. How important is that to your league to get that exposure, which, you know, hopefully should come in the next couple of years with the amount of talent we have in this country?
I completely agree. And I think it's incredibly important that we see what the strong national teams have done in hockey and what they've, you know, what the rise of the, you know, the soccer team has done nationally in terms of interest in that game. So I anticipate that at this World Championships coming up this September, that the national team, Team Canada on the basketball side, is going to do incredibly well, better than they've ever done before. But, you know, with the goal probably of, you know, Paris 2024 and the following, 4 years later in 2028, and really putting the stamp on things and really, you know, doing and aligning all those great things that the Raptors have been able to do and to nationalize them. And I think that's where the CBL fits in. And we can take that, you know, Southern Ontario fandom and really spread it across the country, but specific to markets that, you know, maybe are not followers of the Raptors until they make a championship run. And this allows them a team to cheer for and players to rally behind and kind of dreams to be made in their own home cities.
This will be year four for the Ottawa Blackjacks. Year one, it was all in the bubble in Niagara. Year two, there were home games, but only a handful with fans. Last year, you actually had kind of a full launch of the team, which culminated with the championship weekend that was here in Ottawa. What do you make of just the support of the Blackjacks in Ottawa and where they're at in terms of your league?
I'm very bullish on the Ottawa Blackjacks and the Ottawa market. I think it's a great basketball market, certainly has a rich tradition on the college and university side. They started the season slow last year. I know they want to change that, and I think that'll really, you know, see an uptick in their following. But they're doing all the little things right. And, you know, having championship weekend there and having those fans being able to witness, not just in the stands, but across the country, a really exciting finale and finish to the championship game and the talent level that the CBL can provide and the connections to the community. Those are really important. And we got a great leadership crew there with Mike Sikovich, the president, but also Javon Shepard and James DeRuin. I think there's a good group of people there and the rest of the staff that understand that the need to make that a really big community team. So, again, it's something we look forward to. You know, that's a really important market and one that follows basketball, and we need to get as many of them on board as we can.
As you build relationships, are you finding an openness in these different markets to you know, that vertical where you get all of the people who are interested in basketball working together for the greater good?
Yeah, that was a very important part of my kind of mandate initially was to create or connect basketball in that basketball ecosystem. And for a long time, you know, it's very competitive at that club level and the prep level and the academy level and the high school level, you know, amongst each other. But I think the CBL has been a good unifier in bringing all levels of basketball together to achieve something. And that's something that needs to continue and needs to continue to grow. And you know, I often look for different alignments with different groups within the basketball network in Canada, and people are coming on board. And I think that's the most important thing, that we're tending to go in the same direction for the best interest of the game overall.
Which team's going to be better this year? Is it going to be Bo Levi Mitchell and the Hamilton Tiger Cats or Sean Burke, Jeremiah Masoli and the Ottawa Red Blacks?
Oh man, that's a good one. I mean, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Bo Levi, right? I've played in Hamilton. I know what it's like. You're coming in as the big dog. You gotta win early. You gotta demonstrate to the fans that you're here to play. I don't have any doubts that Bo's going to be able to do that. But there is going to be a lot of pressure. I think there's less pressure for Berkey in Ottawa. I've got a lot of faith in what he can do. And now, again, with a year under his belt to bring his own guys in or to kind of make the team, you know, what he would like it to be. So I think the East Division is going to be tight. Again, I don't see any clear-cut favorite at this point, but bring it on. I mean, I'm excited to see it.
Mike, always good stuff. Appreciate the time. Congratulations on the extension and look forward to what should be another fun season here in Ottawa and throughout the CEBL.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the support.
Thank you.
Mike Morreale joining us, CEBL Commissioner on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza is the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators.
It's got to be so, it's a whole bunch of different things, but rewarding, like to start something like from the grassroots, right? Nothing, not even a desk or a telephone or,
yeah,
you know, and just put it all together and build something.
They've got a good model, the summer model, right? Because you're getting players you're getting better players than you would if you were playing in the winter, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You're getting players that are coming back from the G League, from Europe, and looking for that opportunity. And they've already seen some players, a number of players, including Lindell Wigginton and Xavier Moon, amongst others, that have gone on to the NBA. So I think there's one thing I'd like to see change a little bit going forward is the timing. End the season a little bit earlier, because in the last week of the season, it gets a little tight for those players that have to go back to Europe. But those are pretty small problems. In the end, getting into markets like Calgary and Winnipeg, fantastic.
Yeah.
And look forward to, and I think a smart move. I didn't understand last year. They had a 20-game schedule, 10 teams in the league. So you play every team twice. Well, you're playing two other teams three times. They played Fraser Valley and Edmonton three times.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't make a lot of sense to me.
No.
So the divisional format works, right? Having a West and an East, that's
good.
Goes
back to our earlier conversation about hockey. Yeah.
More games against Montreal is a good thing.
Yeah.
Back with more in a moment. Dave Naylor is going to join us at 5:05 as we continue with The Drive on TSN 1200.
Let's get back to The Drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.
The Drive on TSN 1200. AJ Jakubik, Chris Stevenson, Matt Konosfida. Happy 62nd birthday to the great one, Wayne Gretzky. My favorite Wayne Gretzky stat of the day. There's a lot of great Wayne Gretzky stats.
Oh, there's a lot to work with there.
Yeah. The year that he scored 92 goals, 1981-82. 22 goals in the first period. It's just getting warmed up. 30 goals in the second period. Well, that's pretty good. How about 40 goals in the third period that year? He scored 40 goals in the third period of games in 1981-82. And I know what everyone's thinking. Well, how many of those?
And I said that to you. It was like, okay, well, and this is the way our discussion went. It was like, okay, well, how many of those were into empty nets? And as I said to you, I don't say that in a negative way. He took advantage of the situation. The Oilers were good and starting to get really good. They had a lot of teams down in the third period, so he had opportunities to put it in empty nets. But the number was surprising to me.
Four empty net goals, including the one where he scored 50 and 39 against Philadelphia. The fifth goal of that game, but 40 goals in the third period. In one season, 36.
He had a great season just playing a third, you could take his just playing a third of the games and he had a great season.
Wild. Happy 62nd to the great one. You know what? Just quickly. Like what we were talking earlier about Boston and Tampa, right? And the fact that Jack Edwards went into the Lightning room.
Yeah, and that's
room.
Not, like I said, that's probably not the reason why you're going to watch. You're going to watch because you've got a Stanley Cup champion team playing against a team that's just had an incredible record this year. And even more incredible given that, you know, there were a lot of people who looked at the Boston Bruins and figured that they were going to be on the outside looking in when it came to the playoffs this year.
Yeah, so Jack Edwards went into the room and apologized to Patrick Maroon, who was giving him an earful. But nonetheless, it's a big game tonight, right? I mean, Tampa's been the class of the league. I mean, Colorado defending Stanley Cup champs, but they've been to three straight Stanley Cup finals, and they've won two of those. And here comes the 38-5-4 Boston Bruins tonight. And Dan Wetzel makes a really good point, one of my favorite follows on Twitter, at Dan Wetzel. No one thought Boston would be 38-5-4 right now, but the NHL's challenge is figuring out how to get big games like tonight on ESPN/TNT. It's an otherwise light night in sports. An NBA game of this caliber with rivalry, plot lines would be on national TV. Not a simple thing, but an important one for the NHL to figure out. Pretty good take there from Dan. Again,
want to grow
simple,
the game, Yeah, you want to grow the game, put your best teams, your best stories, your best players out in front of the public so that, you know, particularly in the States where you might have, you know, casual fans, that's the kind of game that can draw the casual fan in. And after watching that game, hopefully it's a good one tonight, lots of storylines, that afterwards they'll be like, that was pretty good. Maybe I'll watch the Boston Bruins again, or maybe I'll watch the Tampa Bay Lightning again.
Certainly something to think about for sure. As we head to break, got a text from Callowit earlier saying, you prefer 30 below or 30 centimeters of snow? Well, he's chimed back in. Wow, that certainly sparked discussion. My personal take, give me the snow. Not because minus 30 is any particular nuisance or anything, but because that good dump of snow will keep the skidoo trails healthy on the tundra until at least mid-June. AJ, get yourself some goggles for your next work assignment in Melfort. Go Sens go from Iqaluit. That's
good hearing from Iqaluit. Yeah. They've been a regular contributor over the last little while.
That's a place I still need to get to. 10 provinces, the Yukon, need to get to the Northwest Territories, and Iqaluit. Then I can say I did all 10 plus 3.
Yeah, cool.
Take our top hour break. When we come back, a CFRA news update. I'll have what you need to know. And then Dave Naylor from TSN talking Buffalo Bills, amongst other football topics on both sides of the border as we continue with The Drive on TSN 1200.